This is Phil Lamar, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
You're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Sold separately from Play School.
Hello and welcome to Geekcast Radio, episode 78. I am your host, TFG1 Mike. This week we are doing another random fandom episode. Random Fandom Part 2 is here. Last time, Steve and I talked about a bunch of things, like whether we collect movie stubs or not in GCR 64. This time around, I brought one of the most random people I know on the show, Miss Lady Rec. Hello.
I'm the most random person you know.
One of them.
I thought Nicole.
Yeah, that's the
took
other
that.
One.
Oh, okay, yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, I have to be pretty random because, you know, I've got to juggle everything.
it's kind of like splitting one Transformers character into two characters. It's like you're Punch and she's Counterpunch.
Wow. That's good.
I know, right?
Wow. Oh my goodness. Punch and Counterpunch. Now you have to just figure out which one of us is Punch and which one's Counterpunch. Because sometimes I think we flip between the two. You know, she'll jab and I'll counterpunch, and then I'll jab and she'll counterpunch. So it's like, you know, somewhere between the two of us, we're split personality of one another, right?
Yeah, well, since she loves the Decepticons, I figure I might as well give her the Decepticon personality.
Well, I'm a little partial to them because of Megatron.
I know.
So.
Well, yeah. All right.
Stick your nose up at authority. There you go.
So this time around, Random Fandom's going to be a little bit more structured, not as much as it was last time.
Oh, I didn't get to listen to this one about movie stubs. Oh. That actually sounds kind of fun because I collect movie stubs too. And then recently the theaters that we have out here, we've got one called AMC and they actually track it online for you.
Oh, geez.
So you don't need to keep your stubs anymore because they've got a little stub image online now. It's like, oh, my gosh, that's so cool. It's like now you are helping my house be decluttered now.
Basically, last time, I honestly don't even remember what 64, how I opened it. I know when Steve Megatron and I started the discussion, it was just cold. I just hit record and we were talking. I mean, this time around, we're not exactly doing that, obviously. And this time around, I do want everyone to go over to geekcastradio.com, check out Remote Control. It is our new TV podcast that we're doing. Hasn't had a new episode in a little while. Last one we did was Arrow Season 2 for the Season Pass version of our episodes. Remote Control will be coming back as 2015 goes on, but I figured, you know, why not be like Rekgar and the rest of the Junkions and talk some TV. I mean, hell, even Cup talks TV, so you know,
we all talk TV in some way or form. I mean how many of us can think back about, you know, all those TV commercials that we heard our whole lives, that you like, you heard just a little jingle and all of a sudden you're taken back as a kid going, oh, you know, like my buddy.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. and then the worst commercial of all out of that. Kid Sister.
Oh, yeah, God. Kid Sister. Kid Sister. Kid Sister.
Oh, good Lord.
My buddy and me. There you go.
All right. Oh. So I didn't... didn't preface this for you before we started the recording, but do you or do you not have a DVR in your household?
I do have a DVR in my household.
Okay. So, what? How long do you usually leave programs on your DVR as far as, like, let's say, the new episode of Doctor Who is on? I mean, I know most everyone nowadays because Doctor Who is apparently the greatest thing in the world. I just don't get it personally. But do you just watch it when it's live, or do you DVR it and then watch it a couple days later? Or how do you do your DVRing?
I'm one of those people that once I set it up, I record it and I watch it. Like, I don't usually watch it while it's on because I hate commercials. So I won't waste my 15 minutes because, like, you know... your 15 minutes, I mean, well, it depends because each show is a little bit different because some run a little bit longer. But usually the American shows run about 42 to 43 minutes, right? Which means you've got about 20, anywhere from like 18 to 15 minutes of commercials that you do not want to watch. So I'm all for just like, because I'd like to fast forward through all of those as soon as possible. So I mean, I can do that with my DVR. I don't know how other DVRs work, but I know how mine works. And I usually watch it like, you know, sometimes it'll be the same night. It'll just be later because I'm waiting for the kids to go to bed. And then I can sit down and watch my shows. And then I just delete it after that because, like, most everything gets put on Netflix nowadays anyhow. And so I'm like, eh, you know, I'll get rid of it because, like, I need space for all of the other shows I want to watch. So... But yeah, that's what I do. It's one of those things where I usually will never watch it as it's on. I just set it up to record and then I go and watch it afterwards. Either later that night or the next day or sometimes at 2 or 3 days, something like that. But you know, once I watch it, if it's something that my husband and I are watching together, we'll watch it together, then I'll delete it because at this point, it's like, you know, all of this stuff is actually coming out on like Netflix or Amazon Prime or something nowadays that, you know, they get their extra something out of it because it gets, you know, a year later, it's going to be put on that anyhow. So.
Right.
Unless it's something that's so twisted that you're like, okay, I have to keep track of this because a lot of stuff that's going on is confusing me. And you know, like, there have been a couple shows where I'm like, okay, whoa, so much has happened, I think I'm gonna keep that episode because I need to go back and watch it again. So
I find with mine, I will, depending on the show, I'll keep favorite episodes on and I'll usually leave, and I'm not talking about new stuff, I'm talking about anything. You know, like, I still have, like, right before the Hub turned back into Discovery Family, or actually right after it did, I still have Tiny Toon Adventures, A Loony Beginning, and if I can't sleep, I will throw that on in the background.
Nice.
Roll over and fall asleep to Tiny Toon Adventures, or I think I still have Batman the Animated Series episode Old Wounds on there. For new shows, for me, it really depends on my mood. Like when the Blacklist is on, or when Scorpion is on, or the Flash. It just depends if I want to. Usually for me is all, because I obviously most of the time at night, anywhere between 8 p.m. and midnight Eastern Standard Time, I'm doing podcasts or I'm doing something for the site or whatever. So I just set the DVR and, you know, there you go. I can, you know, when I'm still awake at 1, 2, 3 in the morning, I can watch the TV that I've missed earlier, because let's face it, there's hardly anything ever on between 1 and 3 a.m.
That's true.
You know, so... But
just reruns of stuff.
Yeah. I find myself lately, like last year when The Blacklist was on and when some of the other shows that I watch on were on, there is just... I don't know what was going on in my brain, but I just couldn't bring myself to watch them until, like The Blacklist used to be on Mondays. I couldn't bring myself to watch some of those episodes until, like, Thursday that the same week. I don't know what it was.
See, now, shows that do that to me, if I get to the point where, like, there are definitely my go-to shows, But if I wait, it's either I've had a really busy week, but if I find myself, I'm going further and further going, oh yeah, I'd like to watch that. Oh yeah, I'd like to watch that. And it's, but I'm like, eh, I kind of don't feel like watching it. Then there's something wrong with the program then. And I usually eventually just end up dropping it. Like there were a couple shows that I've watched in the past where I just said, I can't. This is really pissing me off. I'm starting to not like it now. And I would wait like several weeks until I would, get to that episode. And then I went, ugh. I pick out all the flaws in it and go, okay, this is just too much. My suspension of disbelief is not being held, and this is ridiculous. So I ended up pretty much dropping it at that point and going, you know what? Eventually it'll be on Netflix because the other season is now. And I'm like, yeah, when I get a really stray hair and I feel like I can tolerate it again, I might go back and revisit that. So.
Yeah, I find myself more recently than anything else because I've had the DVR for about, I don't know, a couple of years now. I find myself in. Depending on the day or the week or whatever show it is, I find myself having really high points of DVR disappointment,
Oh
where it's
no.
like I will record a show thinking, oh, I'm going to really, really enjoy this episode or whatever else, and it doesn't matter what show it is, it could be anything. And then I'll get like 20 minutes into an hour show or 5 minutes into a half hour comedy, and it's like, I don't care, delete.
There you
Just.
go. Yeah.
I don't know what it is. So you had said to me off air that you had been dying to talk TV. So what about TV would you like to talk about?
Oh, well, I was just going to say that, I'm incredibly impressed with the amount of comic book TV shows that have come out just in the last year and a half. We've got some really good ones that have come out. You've already mentioned Arrow, I think. But like Constantine came out this season, well, this year, so it hasn't even gone through a full season yet. So there's that one. But we got the break off of The Flash that from The Arrow. It's two completely different shows, but they have their own voices, and I'm really loving both of them for different reasons. And then of course we just got Agent Carter, which is a kind of a break off of the Marvel stuff that comes out of Agents of Shield while they're on their mid winter break. We're gonna get all of those episodes. So I'm like going, I'm just really impressed with the amount of stuff that's come out. And not only the stuff that's come out, but the fact that I'm liking almost every single one of them for different reasons. So it's really interesting. I think we've also got Gotham. Let's see what else. I think I did say Constantine. Oh, I know there's one that's on here that's missing, and I'm sorry for any
I don't
fan out
think
there that's screaming at the podcast right now. You forgot this one.
I don't think Constantine is gonna last though.
Sadly, yes.
I don't think it's gonna
There are a lot of
last.
people that I've been following on Twitter that are saying the same thing too, and the thing is that I'm actually kind of liking it.
If it
So
was,
I'm
see,
like,
the I have yet to watch even the pilot. I want to, I just haven't. I've just had so much other stuff
you need
going
a
on.
slot. Yeah, some really other things going on. Yeah.
But I mean, the only thing I see wrong with Constantine is where it is. Like, if Constantine was on the CW instead of NBC, I could see Constantine going up against or going up either right before or right after Supernatural. You know, that I could see, because the CW does supernatural shows very well, not just the supernatural show, Sam and Dean and all that, but just the supernatural stuff they do very well, and it succeeds on their network. NBC is not a network where Constantine should have ever ended up.
Well, and it doesn't
The
help to the fact that Grimm is before it, and Grimm is actually really good. It's already gone for three, I think it's its fourth season now. But it's like, okay, so you've already got to about the fourth season, you already have a viewership for that, and then you're throwing Constantine afterwards, which is a little darker, a little later, and it's newer. And if you haven't been, like, I haven't watched any of the comic book stuff for the Constantine, so I don't have any, I'm not coming into it any bias or anything like that. But some of the images are pretty, like, wow. I mean, Grimm is, I like Grimm, but some of the images even in Constantine have been a little like, oh geez, put that on public TV, especially NBC. I'm like going, oh, okay. I don't know if that if the people watching this are enough to be able to keep this going. Now, the good thing is that it isn't up against anything else, but it is at least not on Friday night. But it is on a TV channel that if you don't frequent and you haven't been paying attention, you may or may not even look at it. So, yeah, I'm a little worried about that too, because I would like to see it go into a second season and see where it takes it. So, and
And
it's got this apocalyptic kind of like, oh, the end of the world revelations kind of vibe going on to it. And I don't know if that's very popular in TV circles nowadays, to be honest. When you get that whole religious, apocalyptic thing going on, sometimes it's a little bit too much. Because there have been other shows that have tried to do that and have failed, or they get to the end of the season and now they've written themselves into, oh, we've fixed it. Oh, okay, now where do we go with
Yeah.
this, you know?
It's like rewrite, rewrite, rewrite. Oh, hey, yay, this works. Let's go.
Well, I mean, Supernatural, you've mentioned that. I mean, that actually has been really great about it's gone through. I think there were a couple seasons where they just dragged it to a point, and the next thing after that. Here's a show that has taken the revelation and the, oh, the end of the world is happening, and has built it to a point where it's lasted a couple seasons. So I can see where that one's going, and it's got its own. It's got its own flavor, and it's got its own fan base because of that too, because they've hit in a couple different other demographics as well. But we're talking about Constantine, which is there's the these aren't teenage kids running around like, going after demons and stuff like that. It's one dude with his team. They're doing what they're doing, but I don't know if it's going to hit all those demographics. So CW could be a good place for it. But because there's no younger vibe to it, I mean, Constantine, he's awesome. I like him. He's got a really good flavor to him, but he's definitely not a teenage, young adult.
No, not at all.
So that's why I don't know if CW would be a good fit because of the supernatural aspects, but the
But
fact that it
then,
doesn't have the young adult vibe, I don't know if they would. If it would really work, because a lot of the CW shows are all about the 20 to 28 age range or whatever, they're teenagers and that type of thing. They go for the younger crowd, so.
But I mean, do you think that the superhero shows on TV, do you think we'll get to a point where it'll be overkill?
I think it's in a good place right now, but if they keep adding stuff, yes. I think that's the reason why Gotham is kind of, from what I've been seeing online, it just it's it, you either like it or you don't, or it's because it's a crime drama. It's kind of there are other crime dramas out there that are also doing it better. I'm not watching those crime dramas because I'm a sci-fi and a superhero chick flick person. So I don't usually watch crime dramas unless there's some supernatural or fantasy or some sort of little twist to it that makes it something other than that, like Grimm, where it's like, hey, he's a cop, he investigates crimes, and it just turns out that he can see supernatural items, supernatural creatures. I like those little flares and stuff like that. So I'm not really watching anything else. So Gotham is right up my corner. I haven't read all of DC stuff, but I'm familiar enough with some of the names that I'm enjoying what's going on. It is a slower burn than what I think a lot of people like, but I'm all right with that because I'm like I said. But I think the reason why it might be on the lower end of viewership, at least from what I'm seeing, that's what it looks like, is because we're at a maximum, I think. Gotham is just kind of sliding through there, doing what it's doing, but it needs to be able to build up more, listenership than just me, people like me that are like, oh, I don't want to watch a crime drama, but I'll watch that because it's, comic book related.
I find that, and I've mentioned this before on our other show, Altered Geek, and I think I mentioned it on Remote Control, and I understand it's all about advertisers and getting those advertising dollars, but what I cannot stand about TV is how networks do not give show, and it doesn't matter what network it is. It could be a regular broadcast network like NBC, CBS, whatever.
Yeah.
Or it could be something like, you know, Cartoon Network or whatever. They don't give enough of a, like, there are some shows that NBC has had that I really dug, and we only got like 3, 4, 5 episodes, and
then they kill it.
They yeah. kill it, and I understand, and I brought this up a couple hate. Weeks ago. Well, I brought this up a couple of weeks ago on an Altered Geek episode, and one of our commenters uh-huh. replied and said that, oh, well, it's because of the advertisers that, you know, it. If a show isn't bringing in the ratings, if a show isn't going to bring in the viewers, the advertisers bail and then the show bails. But then my thought is,
yeah.
why put so much money? Okay, I understand. It costs nothing to open a Twitter or a Facebook account, but or Instagram or Pinterest or whatever the hell you use. Why put all this promotion or advertisement on the network's part into starting a new show
mm-hmm.
and then just kill it?
I totally agree with you. I mean, I have years of angst to veil about this. Years where things have like there's Firefly, come on, you want the list? Let's go for the list.
Okay, before we go for the list, you mentioned Firefly, and all I can think of is I think it's in season 3 of The Big Bang Theory where we find out how Leonard and Sheldon first meet and they sign the roommate agreement and everything else. And I think in that one, Sheldon says, you know, Friday nights will be allocated for watching Firefly because it's Joss Whedon's best thing ever and it's never going to get canceled. And then, you know, lo and behold.
Everybody's laughing at this point because it only went through one season. I was actually mad at Firefly to begin with because they canceled Dark Angel. To put that one in there. So I was like, I did hesitate watching it just at the very beginning for a little while because I was still angsty about that. I mean, it's been going on for a very long time. I mean, things like that have happened for years. I mean, it's going as far back as like, oh, geez, Roswell. Anybody remember that hubbub? mm-hmm. Where we had fans that were so dedicated to it. They were buying like hot sauce. And they were able to keep it around for another couple seasons because of that. But it's just like, you know, chopping block is just like the worst. You've got to give sometimes, you've got to give some of these seasons at least a season or two. And it's not the only one. There have been other ones as well. I mean, NBC has been notorious for canceling stuff to have anything slightly sci-fi. It'll go through one season and then that's it. Then it's ended. I mean, we've got Invasion. We've got, oh, what was that one that had the seas were rising because there was some crazy sea monster that was in it. I don't remember what it was called. But, like, you get invested into, like, you know, two couple episodes, and you're like, oh, okay, I want to see where this is going. And then all of a sudden, you know, the end of the season's about to come, and you know it's going to get canceled, and you're like, oh, crap. Or you find out on the last episode, this is it, and then they leave you hanging, and then you're like, no! You know, it's just like, ugh.
And I'm going to bring this up in a minute, but or in this day and age with all the technology and the basically having the internet and the information is right there. All mm-hmm. you got to do is, you know, type in a Google search or whatever else. And
very true.
There's nothing worse than watching a show before the holiday break because some shows do not like. Some shows will not give you, you know, next up on like Flash and Arrow both gave us, you know, January 20th, Flash and oh my God, January 20th and 21st. Oh my God. Flash and Arrow return. And you know, they give you a preview. There are some shows that don't do that because apparently they're not doing too well. And certain networks, Fox wants to basically not even do anything.
They
want to
bail
anymore.
On them. Yeah, they already want to bail on them, and it's like, well, why would you invest that much money in it and then just bail at the last minute? It's like, would you not want your readership to or listenership, viewership, to follow and at least see the end of it, you know? I mean, to see, well, can we put a little bit out there? Is there not some intern at Fox that you could say, look, here's the Twitter. Think of something cool to say about this. Start doing a little bit of social media. It takes like 2 seconds. They can't like pay an intern like $50 to just sit there and tweet about a few things real quick. There you go. I mean,
I mean,
you're right. I agree. It makes no sense, especially since in this day and age, like 20 years ago, okay, I could understand. But social media has become such a big tool that takes 2 seconds to put anything together or 5 minutes to throw something together that it's like, you know, it's so easy. Why would you not? Are you not invested in your own properties that you'd be like, hey, this is kind of cool. Let's, you know, you can't tell me that none of the interns that you have working there aren't geeky and that don't go to Comic Cons and aren't up on some of this stuff. Come on, man. I bet you there's got to be some intern in there going, yes, give me the Twitter. I'll do it. I'll do it. You know?
Outside of actors' salaries and actors wanting to continue on or leave a show, can you imagine what sh how long certain shows from the old days would have gone if we had what we have today as far as the technology? Like, you know, Cosby could have gone on to, you know, 94, 90, you know,
It's true.
Airwolf could have had a fifth seat. You know what I mean? It's like I think of all these shows, you know, that are just like, wow. And see, what strikes me as so strange is you have a show like, well, I'll just go ahead and say it. You have a show like Boy Meets World, where it started in 93 and it ended in 2000. That got 7 seasons of a show, and that, you know, went over Corey and Sean's lives as they grew up, and it had a beginning, you know, a whole middle section and end. See, that's what I like in my TV, is if you have a series, it doesn't have to go 7 seasons, but if you have a television series that starts, it starts off good, it gives us more things and more and more and more, and then they come to a point where they want to say, okay, let's go ahead and wrap it up. But we're going to give people the, you know, satisfying conclusion, you know, to you know, to end the series, and then people won't be so jaded. Again, I reference The Big Bang Theory, because in one of the episodes, Sheldon's was like, oh, well, I'm going to watch, you know, all of season 2 of Alphas on my DVR to prepare for season 3. And Leonard's like, there is no Alphas, they canceled that show. What? But it was left on a cliffhanger, and he goes through this whole thing of calling the sci-fi channel and pretending he's somebody that he's not and everything else, and it's like it just
See, this
it's
is why
just
I
so
love the Big
crazy.
Bang Theory is because if this is exactly where you can bring those things, because all of us have been through that geeky angst, right? We're like, I'm gonna protest. I'm gonna write a letter. I'm gonna start, you know, something. Because we've all been there in one way, one form or another, and that's the one place to vent your rage, you know. But it's funny to see it because then you can actually laugh at it. It's like, yeah, that's how it is when you're a geek and you've invested in something, you know, you get invested and you get angsty, you get grumpy when they cancel something. But it's interesting that you say that, because yeah, I mean, sometimes, well, and sometimes when they get to the end of the, you know, the season that they've planned to wrap up, they leave it in a way that makes people halfway unsatisfied, like, you know, lost.
Well, yeah, that was now see, I'll fully admit I watched like the first 5 episodes of Lost, and then I just couldn't anymore. I love Terry O'Quinn, don't get me wrong, but I just couldn't watch that show anymore. And then, you know, as the, what did that show have, 10 seasons or something?
It
I
only
don't even
had five,
remember.
actually.
Five?
Five
Okay,
or six,
well.
something like that. But they had a definite end to it. And they had said that from, I'd say, maybe four seasons in, I think. They had said that they knew where it was going and they had a definite end.
Yeah. See, for me, that's the thing where, yeah, it had 6 seasons. You know, 121 episodes, six seasons. That's a good run.
That is a good run.
It was a very good run, but to end it with it all being in all of them being in purgatory, it was all purgatory. Oh my God,
Well, the
seriously?
thing is that half the fans had already predicted that to begin with, and they went out of their way to say, no, that's not what's going on here. And they were in denial about, they denied all of that, when in fact they were like going, oh crap, they figured it out. Which is understandable. I mean, because no one wants to get like that far into it and have all this mystery and intrigue, and then to find out like somebody said, oh, it's because of this, and it catches on, and everybody says, oh yeah, that one of the theories seems to be the, and then it turns into this big thing, and then you're like, no, it's not what it is. We're trying to squash this before we get there. I kind of felt bad for him because, you know, that's pretty much what happened. I think there were enough people that kind of looked at that and said, yeah, that makes sense. That makes perfect sense. And it caught on. This is one thing where well, I don't even know if social media was the reason why it happened like that, but that is the reason why, you know, I kind of felt a little bit for that, but I was actually one of those people that I was fine with it. I didn't care that I just wanted a satisfying end that made sense to me, so.
I just loved making, honestly, I just loved making fun of it. Like,
Oh,
purgatory,
there's,
sir. You know,
yeah.
it's like, I just love, because like I said, for me, because that, I believe he would, I could be wrong, you can correct me. Was Matthew Fox in that entire series, or did
Yes, he was
he?
one of the main
Okay.
characters, yeah.
See, that was, and his main character's name was, I think his main character's name was Jack or Charlie
It
or
was
something or
Jack.
other.
It was Jack, I
Jack,
believe, yeah.
okay. Well, you know, that's another thing with television. If a show has someone I've seen before that I want to see again as an actor or an actress, it's like, oh, I'll tune into that.
Oh, yeah.
Matthew Fox was on Party of Five. I liked him on that. So, hey, I'll try out this Lost thing. And it just, like I said, just wasn't for me. I know that you said you're not into the whole, cop drama kind of thing, but for me, the biggest screw up was, like, and this is a while ago, folks. This isn't current. I loved CBS's Nash Bridges
Oh.
because for me, it was my Miami Vice because I was a little too young when Vice was on. I knew of Miami Vice, but I like
That was
again,
my time.
well, wow.
I'm
We're
showing
really
how old
dating
I am. I
ourselves,
know.
folks. Yeah.
And it
No,
was
but
more, I was watching it with my mom. She was more into it than I was, and I think I got into it just because of her, because she was watching all the time,
right.
so.
But I mean, Vice was, I think it was starting in 84.
80s. It was the 80s, yeah. It would have to be. I mean, you know, think about those two guys and what they look like in the white blazer type, you know, office jackets. It's like that's so 80s.
Yeah, it
Shoulder
was.
pads, everything, you know, the hair, the mullet, but making it look cool, cooler than MacGyver.
It was nobody can be cooler than MacGyver. Come on now. It was 84 to 89. So I caught like tail end, like, but 88, 89, I was 8, 9 years old. So I caught like tail ends of Miami Vice, but it's not like in 1996 where I can turn on, CBS's Friday Night Action Hour and watch Walker, Texas Ranger and Nash Bridges and, having, I mean, first of all, teaming up, Sonny Crockett with Cheech from Cheech and Chong, that's just genius, and see, the funny thing is, it was obtaining, Nash Bridges was obtaining fair ratings from Nielsen, sadly following its Friday night ratings battle, which it was losing to NBC's Law and Order Special Victims Unit. The show was canceled. Paramount Network Television, which was producing the show, felt its $2 million per episode production cost was just too much.
Ah,
Too
bummer.
much. Are they not making enough money? Are they not making, like, and I can so see some of the shows that we used to watch. Obviously, they're not on anymore,
Yeah.
but some of these shows existing today and in the TV medium we have today, I could see them, everybody always talks about, oh, well, this show got canceled on Fox. Let's see if Netflix or Amazon Prime or Hulu or whatever picks it up and gives it more. Like, you know, even though I don't watch it, I don't really care that much for it.
Oh, yes. Yeah, some shows have done that. Like Medium. Medium did that where it was on, Medium did that where I think it got another season, maybe two, switching from one network to another. And if you weren't aware of what was going on, I think it got a little lost because all of a sudden it went from one channel to another and you're like, oh, if you weren't paying attention, you kind of got, oh, where'd it go? And eventually I figured out where it went to. But
yeah.
And I had to do some internet searching and stuff like that. So that's one of those things where it's like, oh goodness, you know, sometimes between seasons it had switched networks. So it doesn't happen often, but when it does, I'm like, I'm glad because like, you know, it's either that or else it gets canceled. Right.
Yeah. I mean, you look at something like Futurama started out on Fox and now it's on Comedy Central and there was, do you find that there's, like, if they, even if a show gets canceled, but it gives you a satisfying, like, especially with animation, if it gives you a satisfying ending, are you okay with that? And the fact that, you know, Futurama has been canceled, like, I don't know, 6-7 times or whatever else, and it keeps coming back and coming back.
That's awesome.
It is awesome, but it's like,
I need to watch Futurama. Unfortunately, that's one of those ones that, I haven't gotten into a lot of those comedy animation, you know, geeky kind of things. I mean, because they aren't completely geeky. They're not pointed specifically toward that, but they're supposed to be hilarious and they're supposed to be fun and all that. And, you know, like The Simpsons and, you know, American Dad and Family Guy, all those, I'm not even quite sure what genre you put those into because they're animated, but they're like, it's not something you want little kids to watch.
No, but I mean, The Simpsons could be animated comedy. American Dad and all the others are like, I don't know, animated drama maybe? I don't know.
But they have a sarcasm, satire kind of feel them too. So it's like you can get away with doing a whole lot of stuff because it is quite literally pointed more at adult audiences than anything else. Even though I think parents that don't get it are allowing their younger kids to watch it. I'm like going, no, this is not child appropriate.
You know, and it's funny you bring that up with cartoons because I specifically remember in 1987 watching, I think it was, see, that's the funny thing. I remember back in 2007 finding, I was in one of the comic shops here and I wasn't even into comics at that point, but I was in there for like VHSs or, you know, something else. You know, and I found a VHS copy of Rebirth. And I'm like, wait, what? What the hell is this Transformers Rebirth? Because the last thing I remember watching of Transformers in the 80s was the Power Master Optimus Prime reruns. And, you know, I do remember I was at my aunt's house and, you know, they're very, very Christian. They, you know, no swearing, no this, no that, and whatever else. And I understand as a kid, swearing is bad. Don't get me wrong. I get it. But it's one of those things where I'm sitting there watching the cartoon and my aunt comes in, turns the TV off. You can't watch that. They said ass. And I'm like, they did not say ass in Rebirth. I know they didn't.
Yeah.
But, you know, you as a 7-year old, how do you?
You just think you heard that. That's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
It's so hilarious. And I don't know. I find myself not watching a lot of current cartoons.
Yeah.
It's just not my thing.
I watch so many other cartoons for other reasons because I do have two little kids in the house. By the time the evening comes, the last thing I want to do is watch another cartoon.
Well, right, but I'm saying, like, especially in general, I've been
listening to, you know, little kid cartoons all day or them talk about it, and it's like, I like the cartoons that actually do, like, they don't downplay the character, downplay the plot, because the audience happens to be younger. When they actually do a good job making the real plot workable for any age, including parents, I will watch that and I will enjoy it. Yes. I mean, Rescue Bots is, Transformers Rescue Bots is the reason why I watch that, is because there's a lot of geek stuff referenced in there. They made it good for the kids and great for the parents. So I've watched those. But you know, by time the evening comes, sometimes I just want to see a bunch of adults, because that's what I've been doing, is dealing with kids all day. So I want a real drama, or I want a real this, or I want a real that. And I don't want to see any animation. Unfortunately, I'm like, it's not that I don't like animation. It's just that if I see a lot of it, like during the day, I'm like, I'm okay. I can go on to something else. And of course now I'm starting all over, 'cause I'm, yeah. Having another one, it's gonna get worse again. Where I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. I will watch Rescue Bots reruns over and over and over and over and over and over and over again before I start putting on the Teletubbies again, you know.
Oh Lord.
Yeah,
I'm show that I cannot believe is still on.
You know, it is so geared toward the younger ages that I can see why it's still on, why they still have reruns, because it just, I remember seeing how my kids reacted to it, and it was like, it was their language, you know? And so I look at it and go, yeah, I can see why people would, you know, sit there and watch that. But it got to the point where I would put the kids down in front of it and I'd go do the dishes, 'cause I don't want to hear, you know, Tinky Winky and whatever the heck you call is. I don't even know what their names are. I think I might remember that one, but I'm like, I don't want to hear the baby talk anymore.
Yeah, no, my children's programming starts and stops with Sesame Street and Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
You know, you got to start and stop at the good stuff.
Yes. Those are the classic, but I'm talking about like infants.
Well, yeah.
That are, you know, not quite up to that page, but they will be getting there soon. But it's such a small window anyhow that, you know, kids get over it really quick and then they're ready for the next thing. So.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. It's just so crazy.
Amazingly, I mean, I was very surprised at first when I was at that stage the first time round, seeing how my kids reacted to it. Because, you know, you hear things before you turn something on, like Barney, you know, all of those things. I never thought that I would sit there and watch it, but after a while, I looked at it and went, you know, I get it. It's like, okay, this works great for this age group, and I'm quite amazed that they were able to get to that level and make it work for a child this age. I was just like completely floored by that. And I was like, I get to sleep a little bit longer because they like this. I'm like going, okay, I'll, you know, turn it on and, you know, close my eyes for 20 minutes before they start, you know, whining because they've got a diaper that needs to be changed. You know, hey. I was like, that's brilliant. I love you, Teletubbies. I was like, no, I've gotten past that stage. So...
That's so funny. What else are you? What else do you like to watch as far as TV programs and stuff like that? What other TV you want to talk about? Hello.
Sorry, I'm interrupted by kidlets. Okay. Keep it all the way down. All the way to like nothing. I don't want to hear any bit of it. So they want to get on the Wii. Sorry.
Yeah. All right, so 40.
Sorry, you're like, yeah, this many minutes into it. There's always
going to be an interruption. No, that's fine. Let's
see. So I think your question was, what other shows I like to watch?
Yeah.
Besides the comic book TV shows?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want me to just take off and go for it? Are you ready?
Okay. Let's see. Yeah, you can just go.
Okay, so I like we've mentioned, the Supernatural. It's not like a comic book stuff, but like I've gotten into a couple of other shows that are like CW oriented, because I tend to like what they do over there, so why not try it out? But then I get some odd ones, like stuff that I didn't think that I would like that I just check out because it seems a little interesting, like the Sherlock US version, which was Elementary, and I've been very, very impressed with that. It's just they're taking a new spin on it. They're, it's like the Sherlock and Watson, except Sherlock is he's working for it's kind of a crime drama-ish, but sure, Watson is Joan instead of John. And I've really kind of liked how they've done that because they've made these really complicated characters that are flawed, but they just have this, the emotional integrity of the characters is just so intriguing. They do such a good job with it that I've really, really enjoyed it, and I've continued to watch it. But it's not the only one. I mean, there've been a couple other ones like Person of Interest that I started watching a little bit, and I stopped watching it because my husband and I started watching it together, and he his time just kind of got a little it got a little tough for him to be able to watch it with me, and so we kind of got out of it. But it's on Netflix, so I'll probably revisit it at some point. But I liked that too, just because the intriguing aspect of technology and the AI that they had in that. And so, I mean, there are other things that I find that are interesting. If I give it a chance, usually I find that like something that I wouldn't normally watch, I kind of my husband and I went through Weeds recently. And I didn't think I would like that, but I got into it. I was like, oh my gosh. And they did a good job with it. But, and it's.
So maybe you can explain this to me
Okay.
because I have just never cared for that show
Yeah.
at all. I've seen several episodes. I get the gist. She's a mother trying to do anything that she can to, have her and her kids survive.
Yeah.
But at the heart of it, for me, I look at that and I'm like, she's a drug dealer.
Yeah.
And it just, like, for me personally, I grew up, as a DARE kid. We had a DARE officer every Tuesday and Thursday come into school, tell us every which way not to do drugs, don't accept drugs, this, anything, everything else. And then, X number of, decades later, we have this show. Like, I can imagine as a parent doing anything that you possibly could to help your kids and survive, but it just there are just certain things that I don't think that I could ever resort to. I
Yeah.
don't know. I what how, 'cause
Well, first
I had
off,
to
I have to
go
say
ahead.
it's definitely not a kid-friendly show.
Well, no, but
It's definitely for
no. I had,
adults.
yeah, I understand that, but I'm a couple of years ago I was doing a we actually had to redo we had to actually redo this part of a news podcast I was doing. I made a couple of comments about this show in regards to the fact that she's a mother. How could she do that to her kids?
That's kind of part of the premise, to be honest. I mean, that's why it was kind of like, okay, why is she doing this? I got to the end of the show and I realized that the whole point of it was just to show she's an incredibly flawed character. She was absolutely supposed to be flawed. And as you see, how she's drugged all of these guys along that have followed her through this whole journey of this, the whole series, is you realize that's what the point was, is the fact that she is an incredibly flawed character. She continues to go down this route of, she's a drug dealer, she's doing all of these things, putting her family, and she's like she's the problem in the whole thing. And they're not trying to tell a story where she's, how she gets out of it and all that. It's like, no, because she never does get out of it. Eventually you get to the end and well, I don't want to spoil it too much for listeners, but basically it becomes legal. It's marijuana, it's pot weed. It becomes legal, which in this day and age, that's controversy. Eventually, it probably will go that way because it's gaining more support year after year after year. But the point is that she makes a lot of really bad choices because that is what she's into and that's what she's doing. And she's selling it illegally, and all of it would be avoided if she would just go out and get a real job, right? But the thing is that, and I've noticed this trend because we've got Breaking Bad, we've got a couple of shows where you have these incredibly flawed characters. They're not trying to tell a story about a good guy that has, you know, that's torn between being stuck in a rock and a hard place. It's like these are characters that, I mean, like, you know, breaking, like I said, Breaking Bad, Weeds. Another one would be Sons of Anarchy, where they do things that are just downright gangster, and you know they are criminals. They should be in jail, but yet you're showing them as the sympathetic character, and it's just it's kind of a way. And I kind of look at this and I'm like, you know, because technically, you know, this is not something I would encourage anybody to do, but for the sake of entertainment, it's following the character and seeing what they do and how they react and if they ever come to a point where they reach redemption or not. Most all of them do not. So one of the reasons why I haven't gotten into Breaking Bad is because I just the way they are pushing it was just a little bit too much for me. I thought I can't sympathize with this character at all. But
I
for all of the other
sympathize.
ones, I've been able to. It's just a little something about the twist on Breaking Bad. And somebody a couple of people said, well, actually you have to get to season 5 before it gets really, really good. And I'm like, I don't want to do that for, you know, 4 seasons.
Well, see, okay, well, that's funny you mentioned that because everybody kept telling me, oh my God, Breaking Bad, best television show ever,
Yeah.
best this, best that, and everything else. And I'm like, all right,
But
well,
you
I'll
had
give
to
it a
get through
try.
4 seasons first before you could get
Well,
that, right?
I said, all right, I'll give it an honest try. I spent 2 months watching it on Netflix, all 5 seasons, and then obviously I had to wait until I got current on AMC, but I watched all 5 seasons plus the remaining season 5 episodes that were airing at the time. By season middle of season 3, I was like ready to hang it up. Like, I understand that some people can't have sympathy for Walt, and I get it. Most of the time they shouldn't. I had sympathy for the guy for probably all of season 1, which is only 8 episodes. I don't know how you can call that a season, but whatever. You know, eight. I had sympathy for him for about 8 episodes, and then when we get into the middle of season 2, I'm like, no, this guy deserves whatever the hell he gets. And then by season 3 or 4, it's like, oh God, this guy. No. The only cool thing out of the entire show that I will say that I absolutely loved is the very end of the series when Jesse gets freed. I know that's a I know you're
Yeah,
not gonna watch it, so it's not a spoiler for you, but
Well, spoiler for anybody else who's watching.
no, hopefully that
Any
they're you
listeners out
know.
there, you can watch the whole
Yeah.
thing on Netflix. There you go. It has a
There you
distinct ending and beginning. There you
Yeah.
go.
You know, it just, but you know, everybody, all of my friends, Ryan Merkley and Michael Dodd and a bunch of other of them, they're all saying that this is the best television show ever and this is so emotional. And everybody else I saw on Twitter is like, oh my God, that episode was so emotional. I watched all this and I'm like, maybe I'm a robot. Maybe I don't have any emotions, I guess, because nothing in Breaking Bad, other than the finale, I didn't find any of it emotionally charged for me at all. I'm like, okay, well, that's that. I got shocked a couple of times, but like, as far as like truly, you know, people saying, oh my God, that episode broke my soul and this, that, and that. Don't get me wrong, I have those moments with other shows. It's
Just
just
not
not
with
break,
Breaking Bad.
no, not at all.
I have to say I just could not be sympathetic to that either. So I think it's, you know, it, because we're all different human beings and have different experiences and different, you know, principles and different ideas of how we live our lives and what we can accept and what we, you know, came from and where we're going. And, you know, it means that some people will it will resonate with them and others it will not. And that's okay. That's why we have opinions. That's why we have talk podcasts like this. Just
Exactly.
so that everybody gets a chance to, you know, voice their grievances or their happiness about something or why it worked for them or why it didn't. And I think it's really good if it gets people talking, even if it's for good or bad reasons. You know,
Right.
it, you know, it, you, the awareness is out there, and it's a good discussion point. And you know, being personally aware of why you like something as opposed to what you don't like. will help you weed out the shows that you're like, eh, this is why I don't like it. It's because of this. And that won't always be true for everybody else. So, you know, but that's a good thing about opinion is that there's a lot of them out there. And that means that somebody listening to this will go, okay, I'll try it and see if I feel the same way. And if I don't, you know, I guess I'm one of those other people. I'm in this boat instead of that one. So yep. It's all working.
You mentioned earlier about, you know, how people tried to, you know, guess things about certain shows mm-hmm. and how somebody ended up being right about certain things. And that's just not, that's not just for TV.
Oh, because no. That happens. Works for everything.
It works for everything.
Comic books, novels.
Yep.
Nowadays, if there's a forum out there, there's somebody else talking about it. You can guarantee they're hypothesizing about what's going on. So
absolutely.
And that's part of the fun of being involved in a franchise or even a TV show or anything like that is being able to sit down with your friends and hypothesize about what's going to happen next. I mean, it gives you a kind of a sense of you're part of the journey. Because you're getting a chance to talk about it. One of the reasons at some of the writing conferences that I've gone to, the way that is impacting the novel industry and just the written industry and having how things are kind of shifting for them is right now, because they're in a very transitionary time because of the ebook. Seeing that aspect happen for a book writing process right now, it gets people charged about it. They can get excited about a book before it's even published because they happen to be in the special forum that's watching as the book is being written. And so it's really kind of amazing. I mean, the aspect of having viewership interaction and being able to interact with the creators and being able to, you know, talk about what they're reading and the excitement that they have is and go on that journey with the people that are making the work as it's happening is very fun. You know, it's a new interactive state that we're getting to basically. So.
Mm. Absolutely. Yep. And somebody on my Facebook just said, Michael Bay should make a My Little Pony or Care Bears movie.
Oh no. Oh no! this is one aspect where you're like, "Are you trolling or are you really serious?"
Well, somebody said it on Facebook, but it's like one of those things where it's like, it's so crazy.
Yeah.
So crazy.
And then you're like, "Shh! Don't give him any ideas."
Absolutely. All right, so I think that's going to do it for us here on GCR Episode 78, Random Fandom Part 2. We did talk a lot of TV tonight.
And hopefully we've made some people aware of different shows you can try out, man.
Absolutely.
So check them out. There's a lot of good ones out there, so even if they've been canceled.
Yeah, that's true. I'm still waiting for my Boston Pub... I'm still waiting for Boston Public DVDs from Fox, but that'll never happen, sadly.
Why is that? Is it licensing?
It's probably licensing, yeah. Most likely.
Eventually, enough time will go by that they'll eventually get it. But if you have the patience of Job, eventually you'll get something, right?
Right. I don't know. It's just crazy. So
pull out those old VHS tapes and rewatch it.
Good Lord. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us. Coming up next, Steve Megatron and I are going to, and whoever else wants to join us, are going to talk about comedians we love or hate.
Good topic.
Yeah, that's what's coming up next on Geekcast Radio. And then later on in February, right before the Oscars, we're going to do the second annual GCR and Awards Reveal podcast in episode 80. Where can the people find you online?
You can find me at Lady of Rec, Twitter.
Awesome. All right, folks, unleash the geek in you, and we will catch you next time.
Bye-bye. It's Showtime Synergy. The latest review podcast from the Geekcast Radio Network is here. So join TFG1 Mike, Nicole Hailstorm, and myself, Lady Rec, as we will be reviewing all 65 episodes of Joe and the Holograms in a 25-episode long podcast. You can find Showtime Synergy on iTunes and geekcastradio.com. We are the truly outrageous podcast that you want to be listening to.
Just listen to Geekcast Radio on the Geekcast Radio Network. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. First, visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on all of our different podcasts. Second, you can rate our show and leave us feedback in iTunes. Third, follow us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio. Fourth, become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradio. Call the voicemail line 502-526-5821. Please remember to tell us the show you are leaving the message for and your name. So until next time, unleash the geek in you.